Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
You know, as a guy who took Spanish for 3 years, I didn't retain much of any of it. I have to, and 3 years is a long time, especially when you're a child, and that's when you learn the most things really well, but I didn't retain a lot. It's hard just learning it in school or through textbooks. Well, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop, or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. They are a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with its intuitive process. You can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. I started Rosetta Stone and my Spanish skills have definitely improved. I can now say muchas gracias. It's really a better way of learning a language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Comedy Bang Bang listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/comedy. That's rosettastone.com/comedy. Don't say that you missed me if you're not going to fist me. Welcome to Comedy Bang Bang. Thank you to Call Waiting for Godot for that wonderful catchphrase submission. And welcome to Comedy Bang Bang for another edition. Some of our guests are shaking their heads at that terrible catchphrase submission. Welcome to the show. My name is Scott Aukerman, and it's Comedy Bang Bang. Just chugging away. We are now in our 13th year enjoying it. We have an incredible show for you coming up. We have an influencer. Oh, we don't have enough influencers on this show, so that's exciting. Someone who will influence people's thinking and the choices that they make in life. That is very exciting. We also have an educator. An educator will be here with us. So that is, from the shallow to the deeps. As they say, we will be running the gamut. No, we will be running on empty. No, we will be running the trifecta, certainly, because we also have a third guest who is here with us. She is our first guest, even though I just called her our third guest. And she's a wonderful comedian who got her start, I believe, on a little show called Last Comic Standing, and who has had a wild and woolly career with many incredible ups and I don't want to say downs, but interesting things that have happened, but she's saying downs too.
Yeah.
She is now on an upswing because her podcast, The Nikki Glaser Podcast, is out there now on iHeart and Big Money Players, anywhere that podcasts are sold. And look, I mentioned her name already. I should just say what it is. Please welcome to the show for the first time, Nikki Glaser.
Oh my gosh. So happy to be here, Scott.
So happy to have you on. Please don't be nervous.
Honored to be here. Oh, I am, because this is like,
we've been trying to get you on for years and years and years.
You know what? Any reason that I haven't been on, like, I realize that I'm a part of the reason I've been on because I've been scared to go on because I...
And you haven't been on, so you're like 100% of it.
But no, I feel like I maybe...
I don't think there's anyone else to blame.
I wasn't famous enough. But you always offered me things that you'd... Like, you always gave me spots on CDR really early on.
Yeah, I believe that I've known you since you started doing comedy, like in the first year.
To do the podcast.
Yeah. I don't know why, because all are welcome here and you are no exception.
I'm so excited to be here, though. Now I feel good. I feel like my nerves have settled down. Yeah, I'm just honored to be here. And I'm actually, I thank you for, I was kind of reflecting on my you know, relationship with Scott Aukerman, and you were just always this person that it was always so kind to me when you didn't have a reason to be, and you stood up for me, and you just thought I was funny, and you thinking I was funny, like, meant so much to me when just not getting that from anyone.
There was nothing in it for me other than laughing at your jokes, and that was payment enough.
It was, I knew that, and it was just it was just affirming that this guy who knows what funny is and is the funniest thinks I'm funny, so.
Hey, who has two thumbs and thinks you're funny? This guy.
that was your classic bit, and I
love that bit. Everyone popularized it and stole it from me.
They don't know that it started somewhere.
It's like the Richard Lewis From Hell thing. No one knows it started from him.
Wait, what's that?
He started saying it's the whatever from hell.
And
he's very upset that people have popularized it and don't credit him for it.
I would be pissed off too.
Yes,
this
everyone
is so
says it.
It's fascinating to me when these things that David Spade started one. Oh, the 90s called and it wants its haircut back. That's Spade.
That's him. That was his popular setup.
But you
just
think that's a thing that's always been,
know? Here's what happens is I think comedians start it and then sitcoms steal it. And then even worse, dramas that think they're funny then steal it after sitcoms.
Oh my God, that's...
And then the public just they all say it after that.
Well, I remember I was so fascinated in the genesis of Nickelback being a punchline because it right. happened quickly and it wasn't...
Oh
Nickelback
my gosh,
not
it was
always
like
a punchline.
That.
But this is what happened. I read some kind of article about how that started. And it was because there was a Tough Crowd clip of Brian Posehn that used to play all the time on Comedy Central over and over where that was promoting that week or maybe it was just an evergreen one they would play where he says he makes a Nickelback joke and makes them the punchline. And after that, it just ingrained itself in the zeitgeist and they were never the same again. But it's all because it was on an
all
ad.
All because of Posehn.
Posehn. It started the Nickelback that they're a punchline.
Comedians have the power to topple giants.
Yes. Jordan Brady, the director of the documentary I Am Comic, he started Bow Chicka Wow Wow for porn sounds.
For porn sounds. He started that? I had no idea. Yes. I think I'm in that movie. I wondered why you said it to me. And then had sex with me.
These all have a start. It's so fascinating.
It's so crazy. Well, speaking of starts, Nikki, you got your start. I think I am correct in saying that you got your start on Last Comic Standing. Is that right? That's the first time that I believe I ever saw it. I mean, you had been doing, obviously you didn't walk into Last Comic Standing and do comedy for the first time on television.
No,
but
it was a year in.
Where
it
had you been doing
early.
It? If I'm remembering, I remember you in Arizona. Is that... did you audition there or something?
That might have been a city they showcased when they also showcased Chicago, which is where on the episode. So I was in Chicago at Zany's.
The most windy of cities.
It is. I hear it's windy. And I hear that's not because the politics. There's a lot of
hot air blowing everywhere.
Exactly. It's actually because of the winds off of the Lake Michigan. Actually.
This is another thing that a lot of people don't know.
Commonly people get that wrong and they get it the other way. So I'm trying to put that out there and spread that
message. Thank you for correcting the record. We appreciate it.
And Bow Chicka Wow Wow was started by Jordan Brady. So honor him whenever you do porn music sounds. Okay.
Yes. So whenever you have sex, think of Jordan Brady.
Please do. Oh my God.
And think of us talking about Jordan Brady.
Yeah.
Please.
Think about this moment. Think of, I auditioned in Chicago I was doing comedy in Kansas City, open mics. I was going to school there. I started doing comedy my freshman year of college. I did one set and I was okay, I found it. I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be Jennifer Aniston since I was in sixth grade. I just wanted to be famous or whatever that was. And I wasn't good at any of the things that would give you that.
Isn't
acting.
That so strange? Usually those people go into publicity. But instead, you went into comedy.
No, I wanted to be her. Yeah, I guess you're right. There is that energy.
The publicity field is filled with people who grew up going, that would be cool to be famous. And then they realize they have no talent. Instead, they just get to email about famous people.
Oh, my God. Is that why I resent them so much? Is because I could have been them so easily if I just wouldn't have sampled.
I have plenty of reasons to resent them. But
that's a good point, too. I mean, that's a whole God. I would love to talk off air. I mean, not even off air. It's just not even funny. It is funny. Publicists are so expensive. It is so If you are a nobody or you're the biggest somebody, there's a flat rate for publicists.
Just a flat rate if you're Clooney, the Clune dog playing pranks on set, or if you're someone like us, you gotta...
Why?
You gotta write the exact same check every month.
Is that law? Like, why do we follow this? Why doesn't someone just undercut them? And like, because I think it should be a competitive business because it's not.
They've all decided that, hey, we're all going to charge. And I don't even want to say how much it is per month. I mean, it's insane.
It's so gross. It's enough so that it's just, so that they can live a luxury lifestyle without living off their clients. And the weird thing is they're trying to make you more famous and more money. Like that's what they're trying to do. So they should try. They have no incentive to make you richer. Because they're going to get
getting a flat fee instead of a percentage. Let me just say, I love publicists, though, and we rely on them to book all the guests here. And in fact, I think you were booked through one.
I totally was, and I like them, and I like
and
whenever I meet with these
and
people.
We love them.
And they have great ideas, but they have no incentive to make the ideas happen as quickly as they promise.
Because they get the check if they succeed or if they fail. And usually, I mean, in my case, they fail.
That's why I don't
No, my
care
publicists are great people.
When my Starbucks drink is garbage, it's like I would make it that too if I was making this amount of money.
Well, that's
like
the other thing is everything that people sell to us, the Starbucks drink, everything should be on a percentage of your monthly income. And then they have incentive.
Honestly,
the Starbucks barista goes, uh-oh, I better like pump Nikki up with a really good drink today so she can go out and make that money so I get my
equal,
money.
Equal, but yes, okay, so back to Last Comic Standing. Yes. I am in Kansas City doing just open mics. I realized comedy is what I want to do because I was trying to do everything else. I wasn't that good at it. I would have ended up a publicist totally if I wouldn't have just been told, oh, you should be a comedian. I probably would have ended up
Who
being
told
a comedy
you that?
Writer
Who,
and presenting.
Was it a, was it a friend
everyone,
of yours or
my
everyone
freshman
told
year
you?
Of, not everyone, but you know, like a lot.
A,
lo-
a large
a
group
lot,
of people.
And
I realize you're being
direction.
Hyperbolic when you say everyone.
Sure.
I don't think that everyone in the United States took turns like in Hands Across America and you went down the line.
Say everyone though. Like it is annoying. It's like not,
it's
it was
okay.
Two people. If you really think about it and they're saying everyone, that is honestly the not even. So it was enough people that I thought I was literally just going to like, cause I was, it's my whole story is like, it's kind of sad. I was like anorexic. I was like dying. I didn't have a reason to live. I literally thought I was just going to like die because I was like, there's nothing I like about life. I'm hungry all the time. I'm depressed. This sucks. Like I have no passion. I'm not good at anything I want to be good at.
I'm in Kansas City.
I was in Colorado at this point.
You were
I went
in Colorado.
Up to the mountains,
oh my gosh.
And I was like, it was beautiful, but I was just like, literally thought I would like, oh, I'll probably kill myself one day. Like I know that's really terrible, but I just used to think like, it's not tomorrow, but I just like don't have a reason to live. And then I did stand up the first time and I literally was like, oh, okay, I'm going to find out a way to like start eating. And so I can like live because this is like more fun than whatever the fuck I'm trying to do. And so I just went
hard. That's an inspirational story. That is an inspirational story.
It is. It is. But it's also like, it's not that it like went away. I just like was like, okay, I don't want to die. Let's just like keep
this
thing in the
background. And by the way, thank God you were funny at it because if you hadn't have been,
I would have just kept going until I found something I was good at, which maybe would have been being a publicist.
Okay. That's true. I think you would make a great publicist.
As empty and show business. Well,
wait,
is
what
such
could
a-
you? What could you do for me as a publicist? Well, I say that we
oh
should
my
each
God,
be
are you kidding me?
Each
I
other's publicists. Let's do it for each other.
We should start.
I'll
that.
Email everyone around for you.
That would be actually an interesting thing to do with people that have a little bit of pull.
Yeah.
Is whenever I work with someone, I'm like, if you ever want me to recommend you, an email from someone that people respect.
Of course,
is
I'll do it
so
for you.
So much more than like your publicist being like, this is her year. She's killing it.
And I'll do it for $1 less a month.
Okay. Well, I thought we would talked about how that wasn't. But I see what you're saying. Okay, so
I don't think
someone needs to come
along. You should
along
pay someone that much, but $1 less. Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was going to be a little more of a grassroots thing where we like help each other and it was
we'll
no
the grassroots.
Like,
yeah, we'll do all that. And $1 less a month. We'll do all the grassroots stuff, everything. Yeah, don't worry about
it. I guess by that I meant like it would be just out of the kind, like just a communal thing that we would share. But
we'll share it. Yeah, definitely.
I think I already agreed to it. So I think I'm. by publicist law, you're now publicist my publicist. Law, yeah. If you've admitted it on a Zoom.
Publicist law is a lot like common law.
Yeah.
With wives.
Right. Wait, what does common law mean?
Common law, apparently, I used to think it was people who are not married, who have been together for so long that people just go like, oh, they are married. But I think there's a legal stipulation that you need to refer to each other as your wife or husband.
Oh.
To where people think you are married. You just have never had the ceremony. Does that make sense?
Yeah, kind of.
I could be
totally
getting this wrong. And I tell you, I try to be as accurate as possible
common
with facts
law.
On this podcast. But
yeah, I don't even know why I want to know that, though.
Why like, isn't common, though? Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, Academy Award winning songwriter and hip hop producer artist. Why doesn't he get into arranging common law marriages, having like a legal Zoom type website?
Common law.
Yes. Commons law.
Commons law.
Commons law. Why doesn't he have a Law and Order type show on NBC called Commons Law, where he's the judge and he's like, you know, distributing law? I don't know if you distribute law, but you certainly enact it.
Commons law.
Common law.
But,
and okay, then he also has a cooking show on like Peacock, Common Slaw or Common's Slaw.
Yes, where he does different slaws.
Different types of slaws,
That are showcased with barbecue. That's like a very trendy thing. Okay.
Common Slaw.
Is Common capable of carrying much show?
Absolutely not.
I don't know, there was
a period where he was on TV every 5 seconds.
Wait,
when he was
on
the Academy Awards.
Because I really got to remember him.
Yeah, well, just think of like a newsy hat and then think of what's under it.
Okay,
you'll think of Common.
I don't want to speak, but I think he, hold on.
You
was,
don't want to speak ill of Common, but.
No, I would never. Yeah, he's dating Tiffany Haddish, or he was. I think he is.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Good for Tiffany.
And I love that pairing. So I think he could carry all of that, because if he's dating Tiffany Haddish, he must
toe
be
to
funny
toe with
and cool.
Tiffany. Yeah.
So I would totally watch Commons Law, either a cooking show version or both.
Sure. I would watch them simultaneously.
Yeah, I probably
two-screen experience.
Because that's what I do with, like, I try to just consume way too much at the same time.
I think these TV shows, like, he should be in his judge robes, in his chambers, and he's eating some slaw, and then you see something pop up that say, if you want to see how to make this slaw, cook on Common Slaw.
We integrate.
And then you get taken over to the recipe show, yeah.
Right, we make the shows inside each other. Okay, so I like that. I think
it's
just
like
combine
a turducken of shows.
A cooking judge show, a slaw competition show, and then we combine both. We have and
well,
it's
that's
in
the
courtroom.
Thing. He hangs out in the courtroom, then he goes back into his chambers and he makes his slaw. just tubs and tubs of it.
Okay, that's. So
and he's not, you know, making it for friends or anyone. Everyone's honestly
slaw.
Tired of his slaw at this point. Yeah. But he doesn't have the math skills to take the recipe down and to have it or to quarter it or anything. So he just has to make these giant tubs of slaws.
So we challenge him. He's a part of the challenge. So he makes a slaw based on just his, and we see him progress through the season and learn actually the right
kind fractions.
And then and then he brings it out and then they judge it. I just don't know if people eating slaw in a courtroom is like a good vibe.
He tries to pass it out to all of the, you know, the onlookers in the court and to the lawyers.
Yeah,
and no one really wants, because they've been in there so many times. They're like, no, thank you, Common. We've eaten your slaw already.
I don't know if we can sustain just with slaw. We might have to.
Oh, no, no. This is just one episode. Oh, it gets canceled.
Oh, okay.
I'm planning on it getting canceled.
This is a presentation.
Have we talked about how you started stand-up comedy yet?
Oh, my God. I mean, it's a good story, and I hate to, like, go into it because I've talked about it before. But, yes, so Last Comic Standing was the first time. But I auditioned for it because I thought that, I went with a bunch of guys from Kansas City. There are 10 guys, I think, that we rented a van that our friend had a hookup on a van. And they were all like guys in their late 20s and 30s.
What kind
and
of hookup
me,
does
I was,
one have on a van?
Like
he
we
had
were all
a van?
Broke as fuck. Like we got a rental, a cheap rental. So we got
so
this
he,
huge
so
van.
So he rented a van.
we had a hookup with the guy. The guy worked at the rental
rate.
Place.
Got
yeah.
It.
So then we got a hookup at a hotel too in Chicago. And they were all going to audition for Last Comic Standing.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was like this website where you like name your own price.
Expedia.com. So, okay, got it.
But he had a hookup at the website where if you like, it was like a Memorial Day sale.
So he logged on to Expedia.com, yeah, rented a van from it, and got a hotel room from it. Yes. Okay.
But it was like, it was because of his hookup in the Wi-Fi in his apartment.
Oh, free Wi-Fi. Oh, okay. Yes. Got it.
That he did get hooked up with. So we got this van and we went. It was just me and a bunch of like old dudes. To me, they were old now, super young. But we drove to Chicago from Kansas City. Yeah. 10 hours. And we just listened to, I remember listening to Feeling Kind of Patton Oswalt's album. And from he taped it in like, he felt in Athens, Georgia. It is iconic, that album, and you really can't find it that many places, and it's not referenced a lot, and I listened to it again when Trump was happening, because it's all during George W. Bush, like the height of when we hated him,
right?
And it was just great. It's fantastic. So we listened to that the whole way, just quoting it, having the best time. And I didn't want to go to Chicago because I was like, I wanted to go for the trip because these were my friends' comics trip, but I didn't want to audition because I didn't want to be that fan who I'd seen on previous seasons where
season were you? You were season
four.
Okay. And that fan was on season one maybe, and he won, but he kept doing the same 5 minutes over and over again because he was a new comedian.
But I just thought it was so ridiculous to want to do something that you don't have the chops for. Like, that's truly why I probably resisted coming on here, is because I wanted to come on when I knew I would kill it. And I like to wait.
I mean,
the
whole Common Slaw chunk is gold at this point and going to wind up on the best of. So
if it doesn't, I either won't be surprised or I will be deeply soothed, because I also think was that funny? But to me, twas.
So, yes. As the immortal bard once said.
Twas. I like to put in Chaucer at the end. I read the spark notes of that in college, I think. I literally didn't read any book in college.
I never read a book in high school or college.
Whoa.
I faked my way through every book report just reading the summaries of every book.
Yeah. That is incredible. And actually that takes I was in AP English too, and I didn't read anything.
I never read a single book. I put them in my locker, locked them up. And I thought the lockers were there to keep me away from the books. So I changed the combination immediately.
It teaches you. It's so good for comedy because it teaches you how to like make
bullshit.
Bullshitting. I mean, it's and really, I mean, I would get A's on papers that books I hadn't read, and like would just, you find a way and you wait to the last second. So that was I was an English major because I had the credit from AP English, which I bullshitted my way through, and I just kept bullshitting.
You're using English right now and you're fluent in it and you're using it comedically. So
it taught me to stay up late the night before and like bang stuff out. Like,
so
you
when
know,
you, when you have like a late night spot, you don't get sleepy.
Yeah. No, that's not true. Now I'm at the point where I'm just exactly. I'm on stage literally just like, I'm tired because
I'm a 9:30 and done person now, especially during the core, you know?
Oh my God. During
the minute it gets dark, get me in my bed.
I stand up's a young person's game. Scott Aukerman
truly is.
It's like in whoever's best at stand up is who's doing it the most
and whoever's youngest.
But no,
there's a baby out there that's hilarious.
whoever
is the youngest person to do stand-up is the best at it.
That is so funny that there are no like funny babies. Like,
isn't
that
weird?
They're all funny, but they're like, there's none. There are some that
you would
like,
think there would be some babies like Andy Kindler or Brody Stevens babies where it's like, it's like the cadence, you know, they're only saying goo-ga, but the cadence, how they say it is really funny.
And the thing with the thing and the thing. Like, you would think that babies would have come up with that kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah, kids are not funny at all.
No.
At all. I mean, they say funny things unintentionally, and that leads us to, hit television shows.
Kids say things full of darned.
Yeah, Common's alleged girlfriend. Can you believe if I would start referring to her as that?
Common's alleged girlfriend.
Alleged, because I don't even know if they're still together. I don't want to put anything on that. But I wish them a lot of luck. And so anyway.
Have we gotten to the point where you auditioned for Last Comic Standing?
I didn't want to be that fan. And so I went on the show. My friends convinced me to do it. They're like, you just do it. And so my goal was to just audition and like have them not shit on me. You know, not be one of the
Just as a life experience.
Right. Not be the William Hung of Last Comic Standing. And then I did it and they were just like, you're too young. And then I was walking off. I did a joke and they were like, we like you. It was Bob Ross and Bob Reed.
Ross.
Bob Reed and Rob.
It would be weird if Bob Ross was judging you.
Ross, Mark, and Bob Reed. I always say Bob Ross. They were like the boogers for the Tonight Show. They were the judges. Anyway, so I walk off stage. This is where this is where I'll literally end the story. I'm so sorry to keep this going.
It's fascinating. As a person who didn't do it, and had no reason to do it, I'm fascinated with the whole process.
Okay. Well, so we get to the town, to that hotel. It is freezing outside. It's snowing. There's a blizzard. I'm like, I don't even want to wait. We have to wait in line all morning. It's like real cattle call auditions, and didn't have a spot in line that you get from your agent, which is now how they're all done. We were waiting out. And we had to like take turns waiting because it was so cold. When I got in for my audition, I was so cold. I was freezing because I was nervous, but I'm shaking because I was also nervous. But it was like I had to jog in place because I was on stage within like a minute after being pulled off the street in a blizzard.
Wow.
So it's like this whole thing. And then I do the audition, but they go, oh, Nikki, we really like that was really good. How long have you been doing it? And I lied and said 2 years when it. You know, I did it for the first time 2 years ago, but I took a year off.
Yeah, yeah, right.
and you round up when you're young in comedy because you just want people to take you seriously.
It's
and
so
no
interesting
one does
because when you're a young artist of any type, everyone thinks that you're too young to do it. And then suddenly there's a point where you're too old to do it. And there's it feels like there's not that sweet spot. Like I never hit that sweet spot.
That's wild. To anyone listening, you feel young right now and you're like, oh my gosh, people always say I'm young. And like, you just feel out of, that will go away because you're going to, aging
soon.
Happens. It's like so weird. I do take a moment during my stand-up set to talk to women and be like, I know right now you think it's not going to happen to you because this is all you know, but your face will start to fall. Like I thought it wouldn't happen. And I know that's the weirdest thing to say to you to be like, because we all know we're going to age, but you really do think it won't happen to you. There's a part of you that sees it's
I'm just
going to
be
everywhere.
Like this forever.
I
like it when people get married when they're 20 and they're like, I want to grow old with you. And they have no conception of what that means.
Oh my God. All I know is that's what Adam Sandler sang to Drew Barrymore in The Wedding Singer on that airplane. And it's the cutest song. And you know, though, Scott, I did recently see a guy that I was kind of having a crush on. I went on his Instagram and saw a picture of him in the old age app where it really makes you look like shit. Do you remember
accurate.
When that happened?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Did you notice that, by the way, no women did that fucking app? Like there was no.
Right.
I was silent on Twitter and Instagram that day because I didn't want it to remind anyone I existed so that they'd go, I want to throw Nikki's
Hey, let me throw
it.
Nikki's picture in here.
If anyone listening ever does that to me, that is a hate crime. I'm serious. You will make my life hell. That's a trolling bad thing to do. You will make, because that's showing a woman when essentially she means nothing to be like you become invisible. Whereas men, there is some of that with aging, but it's not as bad.
And so
men
are doing it all the time. It's not good either. It would be interesting if instead of falling, instead of your face and all your skin falling, it fell upwards. You know what I mean? Wouldn't that be interesting if people age?
Tom Cruise sleeps upside down.
Does he sleep upside down?
Like I don't know that that's true, but I think he's at least sits up. Like I talked to Whitney Cummings about this on her podcast. Whitney Cummings will not sleep on her face and she sleeps up. I enjoy sleeping
on my
stomach.
I like to sleep on her face. I don't know what that means. I beg your pardon. Whitney's a friend. We got one of our dogs from her, so I can say that about her.
I would, honestly, I would love to sleep on her face because her face is so like clean,
smooth,
and like expressive. Like she's one of those people that you are around. There are certain people that are so beautiful that I just am like fascinated by their beauty, and I just have to keep saying it to them. Where
and
it's
we are in the presence of one right now. Nikki Glaser is here on the show of Nikki Glaser podcast. She still
That's
has not finished
dream.
Her story.
That's my dream. So she basically the story auditioned. Is I wanted to be a model or actress that was admired for her beauty, but instead I realized that was impossible.
I don't think we ever got past the point where the guy said you're too young and then you left.
Yeah, I know. I'm on a lot of tangents, Scott. My ADD meds are kicking in and they're going the opposite way.
Oh, no.
No. So I get on stage and I do a joke and they go, you're too young. I said 2 years. He goes, you're too young. And And I go, okay. And I was like, that was the best. Like, you're good, but you're too young. Oh, boo hoo. I was like, yeah, that was the best case scenario. I hung up the mic and I'm walking off stage. And then I heard them very clearly, because they're the only people in the room. I heard one of them go, I really liked her. And the guy that was kind of the tougher, like Simon Cowell, was like, I mean, I could be convinced. And then I heard that and I ran back up on stage and I grabbed the mic and I was like, do you want to hear one more? I don't know why I'm miming a mic to you guys, but yeah, I have a mic in my hand.
And it honestly doesn't look like a mic.
No, it looks like it's I'm right jerking up off a toddler. And I'm sorry to say that, but it's like a very small fist. It's so anyway, that was an awful imagery. And I really do apologize to anyone. Trigger warning.
It's merely an analogy. Hindsight. You didn't actually do it.
No, I didn't. This isn't a ghost angel baby. No. I don't know. Why does that have to be a ghost? The angel made it better.
If it's a ghost, it's okay.
Okay, if it's a ghost. Okay. So anyway, I said, do you want to hear another joke? So I do another joke and then they go, all right, Nikki, we'll see you tonight. And then I was like, I got advanced to the next level. Oh. So then I go to the night show and I'm against, you know, I'm against Jimmy Pardo that night, who is like a legend in my mind even in then. And this was 2006.
This is before you even knew him, really.
No. I didn't know him, but I knew of him.
Right.
And like,
yeah,
it was people on the show that I was just like, what am I doing? But I did my best and I was young. I had a good story. I had the moment. They throw me into Hollywood.
And they're looking
why
for
not
a diverse mix of people on
yeah
the show. So it's like, why not put a young person who
I'm
hasn't
Dat
really
Fanning
done it a lot
hard, you know,
right,
like they're like, we want her cause she's young and cute. And then, but I was funny. There's no doubt
right
about it.
But,
like,
but what do you have? What do you have? Really? You have like a bulletproof girls 10 minutes at this point or what?
I mean, yeah, but it's all like me trying to be Sarah Silverman. So it's rape, abortion,
right,
period, rape, abortion, like jerking off ghost toddler
right
material. Like, and it's from Kansas City. This is where I got started. Kansas City is notoriously just filthy and Doug Stanhopey. They're all trying
right
to be Doug Stanhope, but like
right
also filthy. So it was like, I went in with that.
But didn't, where did you end up placing on the show? Weren't you at like,
well, I
like,
went to the top 40. Like I went to LA and then from there on,
the
I did not
Kasem
progress. Hmm? But yeah, exactly. I got to the top 40 and
keep your
Hilton
feet on the ground and jerk
Glendale
off the ghost baby.
Well, that, I mean, keep your feet on the ground. I like how you have to like stay planted to jerk off the
right,
ghost baby.
Yeah, you need the leverage.
Ghost baby doesn't like, yeah.
Well, it's an incredible story, but I wanted to get in before we go to a break.
Oh,
your,
my God, yes.
Your flirtation with reality television did not end there because recently, I believe only 2 years ago, you were on a little show called Dancing with the Stars where you were first.
Thank you.
You were first.
I know.
To get kicked off.
Voted off. I know, Scott. I know. And that's why that is the only the silver lining of that show getting kicked off first. That joke right there is the only one. Because that's in my act where I go, and I got first. Voted off. You know, I do like the
right
Kevin Nealon, Wendy Lehman throwing. But
right
that's because I was like, couldn't I have just been second? And I realized, you know what?
You don't get the joke that way.
It's not as funny. Second yeah voted off still is funny, but
you,
not as funny
you did
as
not. First of all, it's and I told you this
thank
at
you
the
for
time
bringing this up, by the way.
It is an incredible achievement to do something that weird when you're a comedian.
Thank you.
It's so, you know, especially for a
that
young comedian is what I mean. Because,
you
know, when you're a comedian, like, you know, who's done movies or, you know, starred in movies and stuff.
And proven
who's
yourself
a,
in that
who's
way.
Who's a household name. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not as interesting. But for someone like you, who is, you know, still a young comedian who's out there doing, you know, interesting things and still on the rise, it's such a just a bizarre left turn for you to do. And the minute I saw you were doing that, I was like, much respect to Nikki. I don't think that I could ever even do that. It's just the courage it took to do that. And then to get voted off and to have to first and to have to, you know, face that. I was just like, what an
Scott
amazing story.
Thank you so much. Like, I can't tell you what you reached out to me and said the exact same thing to me. I don't know at what point you did, but you said something to that effect and it made me feel so seen because I did do it because of that, because I want to challenge myself to do weird stuff and to take chances and to like do stuff that like scares me, because that's what got me into stand-up. I had terrible stage fright in sixth grade. My parents were going to have to take me to see a specialist because I couldn't talk in front of the class because I shook so badly. I used to have insomnia for a week before class presentation. Like, I really struggled. And I overcame that by making myself audition for a play, like forcing myself to do these things. So when Dancing with the Stars came up, you just nailed it, because when it came up, I was mad because I was like, I have to do this now, because I was like, you can't turn down Dancing with the Stars. It's too weird. It's too funny.
Too bizarre that you would get a chance to do that. It's so interesting.
It when they ask me, I just go, no. I literally go, no. And they go, Nikki, it's Dancing with the Stars. And I go, no.
No, I can't.
I don't want to, because I don't dance. Scott, I was shamed about dancing when I was around fifth grade. My sister learned to dance at school. She was in third grade. She came home, maybe I was seventh grade. My sister was sixth grade. Yes, because I remember the kitchen. She came home, she did this dance, and it was good. My sister learned choreography. We'd never learned it in my house before. And and she brought him some choreography, and she knew it because she learned it from like a teacher. She's teaching it to me, and I can't get it because she's, you know, in sixth grade and has never danced before. And so my mom and her are making fun of me for how bad I am at dancing. And it was that moment forward that I was like, I will never dance. I hate doing things I'm bad at.
I'm never going to dance again.
I will never dance again.
Guilty feet have got no rhythm.
I swore, and I never danced until I started drinking. And then I was like, oh, dancing's fun. And then I quit drinking. And so I didn't really, wasn't able to access that part again. Right. Of like, dancing can be fun. And certainly choreography or any kind of rhythm I've struggled with. I tried to play guitar for years, but the rhythm was always just my, like, the thing I struggled with. So when they asked me to do Dancing with the Stars, I can't tell you, like, I would have rather done literally anything in entertainment, like live on TV of like a talent that isn't comedy than that. And like, I would have, I'm a vegan. I would have rather like slaughtered a live, like my dog, my own dog. Because it has to die at some point, and I would.
We're not even talking
as,
about eating it. We're just talking about slaughtering it.
That's not my problem. The eating is not the problem. It's the suffering up until the slaughter. The slaughter I actually don't have much of a problem with either, if it's done humanely. It is the suffering that is before. So if my dog lived a good life, I'd just like whack it on TV.
Was asleep, yeah.
Without much, yeah, yeah. And was didn't see it coming.
Was asleep, was just like,
no,
and then just, you know.
We do it in Portland, and we do it like, we put candles around it. Yeah. You can do it anyway. It's just your choosing of sacrificing your dog on TV. It's a new
they
show I'm
make
pitching
dog
around.
They guillotines, do they?
They show, I mean, like, humane, I mean, I hate to get vegan here, but it is about that. To me, it's not about, like, the way they kill them. It's the way they beat them before and the lives they lead from the day they're born. So like, it's not the fact that they're killing. So this is all leading into my pitch for killing your dog with the stars. And if you can do it, and you do it masked.
But this is my point is I look at you on Dancing with the Stars and I go, wow, Nikki is fearless, but it's really you're fearful and you're just overcoming
I'm so scared. Oh my God.
Which is even more of an achievement, I think, you know, because if you were just like, yeah, sure, I'll do Dancing with the Stars. It wouldn't be as when I saw you do it, I was like, I can feel how much of a weird out of context thing this must be
I
for
cried
her.
So
and
much.
To have her doing it, I just was really,
I regretted it.
I was a lot of respect for you.
Thank you. It deserves that because it was hell, Scott. It was hell.
I cannot imagine. I mean, you know, I danced in musical theater and had to learn choreography and all that kind of stuff. And it's terrible when you have no talent for it.
I would, in high school, ask the director to only give me speaking roles or like, so I wouldn't have to dance. I'd be like, I'm only going out for speaking roles because I didn't even want to try because I was so scared of dancing. So to do this and not know what was going to happen in terms of like, can I even learn to dance? The first dances, I'm looking at all the research of Dancing with the Stars. The first dances are hard. Like, I can't do those. I don't even know how I'd learn to do
those. I have to say, you weren't like some of the lumbering idiots who are on that show usually.
Yeah,
like, you actually were good at it. It's weird that you were voted. I thought
it
you were
sucks.
A good dancer.
Thank you, Scott. For dancing for the first time, I was good. But I should have been because you practiced so much. But it was really... I got injured because I begged to get injured because I wanted I asked God to
some
like,
kind
I literally
of story.
Was crying in the middle of this. I literally was crying a week before we were going live. My partner was kind of knew that we weren't going to make it far. So like he had kind of checked out
and
he had already filed for divorce.
He got assigned to you
and did. He did get assigned to me. And he, when I walked in and met him, because they meet us blind, they have no idea. He thought I was going to be a good dancer. And then we did a little like number together.
He looks at you and goes, okay, I don't know who she is. She must be famous for dancing.
Yeah. I look like I could be a good ballerina type thing. I'm a svelte lady. I run a lot, but I can't. But the first couple steps that he did, just like jokingly when we first met, the his face dropped. I saw it because.
Much like he was aging the right way.
He aged like a president in his disappointment. It was 7 years of, it was 4 years of aging in one. But oh my God, Scott, there's so many stories. Let me just quickly rattle off the one.
Please.
There was one time. So he would try to be encouraging and be like, you're so amazing. His name was Gleb. He's the hottest guy I've ever seen in my life. And I promise you, I did a bunch of bits about him in my Netflix special for the Degenerates. I talk all about Gleb. But let me just say one thing that I didn't say in that, which is like one day we were recording the dance. And it was the first day that I had finally had confidence. And he's like, you can dance, Nikki, you can dance. You can do it. Like he was kind of Carrie strugging me and Bella Caroli-ing me. And he was like coaching me and like making me feel good. He's like, you are sexy. You're not a joke. You tell jokes, Nikki. You are not a joke. You tell jokes. And I was like, you're right, Gleb. I'm not a joke. I am sexy. And I could do this salsa. Like salsa is so sexy. And for a comedian to be sexy
is
humiliating. So I had to do it though. I had to feel sexy. And I had to like feel myself. It was so humiliating. And then we record. So I finally do this dance for him. We do this dance. And it's the very first steps of a whole minute dance. It's like the first eight count. And it's the first time I go, oh my God, I've got it. Like I got eight counts and I didn't fuck it up too terribly. I mean, it's there and it was promise. And I was like, oh my God. Like I celebrated afterwards. I was so excited. And one of the producers was filming with my phone and he goes, okay, go home, practice that, watch that. So I go home and I am stoked. I'm like watching the video back and I see Gleb at the end of it where I am like, oh my God, I did it. And he's like, you did it. You can dance. Like, you can dance. He goes to the camera to turn it off and he goes,
for the listener, Nikki eye rolled and turned it off and a heavy sigh.
Exasperated gasp. And then he turns it off and then sends that to me, this idiot. And so I am watching this. It's very subtle, though. It's very quick. It's like this Zapruder film. I was going back and watching
frame by frame,
slow-mowing his eye roll. And I just knew, like, this guy, we ended up having a good relationship. But over a month, you really get to know someone very deeply. But I did feel, you know, it was terrible going into the finale because I did beg to be injured because I wanted a reason why I was so bad. You know, I wanted because
right. I wanted to come out so on a cast or something.
I wanted if I was able to say I broke my foot, then everyone would be like, oh, she's bad because she broke her foot. So I was scared of being bad. But the truth is, I was really injured and I couldn't even talk about it because that's a whole nother level of reality shows where it's like, you can't tell them how injured you are. And I'm like, I got injured so I could tell them. And they're like, no.
So you literally were injured and you had to keep quiet about it. Oh, interesting.
They didn't tell me to, but it was like, that was the vibe. I wasn't
They weren't making a big story about it. They wanted you to kind of like work through it.
And it was a big freaking story because I couldn't put on my shirt the morning that I had to dance. I couldn't put it over my head.
What injury did you have?
It was a shoulder injury that literally starts tingling when I talk about Dancing with the Stars. It was such a traumatic thing. But then I meditated it away. And that is a true statement. I literally meditated my injury away. The pain from it, at least. The injury was still there. And then I was able to dance. And it was all because someone sent me a meditation when I was on my way to Dancing with Stars the day I was supposed to dance live.
Is that where you started meditation? Because I know you do it.
I was dabbling before, but then someone sent me a mantra, like, because she had seen my Instagram where I was kind of alluding to being injured. Mm-hmm. She goes, I have gymnasts that when they get injured and they have to perform on the injury, which Bella Caroli, like, when they have to do the thing they shouldn't do, which you might have to do tonight, she was like, I tell them to do this mantra that is, I'm strong, I'm prepared, this is easy, and just say it over and over. So I was sobbing in this car on the way to the set to go get ready for the live taping of the show where, and I can't put on my shirt that morning, I'm sobbing. And I just go to the driver, I'm going to start saying I'm strong. I was like, when I first got in, I go, we have a 5 minute drive to set. And I was like, I just really need to sob. Because once I got there, I couldn't show that I was that weak because the producers kind of seal your fate. So you have to look strong. Like I can last on the show. And so I'm like crying in the car. And then I get this email and I go, okay, now I'm going to start saying a thing over and over. Just don't mind me. And so I start going, I'm strong. I'm prepared. This is easy. I'm strong. And I said it for like 3 hours straight just to myself and just started moving my arm and it started to feel better and I was able to dance with it.
I would imagine the drivers on that show are used to that kind of behavior.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That was like everyone on that show. I couldn't do it. It's incredible that you did. And even if you were only on there for 1 week, it was an incredible. An experiment in torture, but also an experiment in what you as a human being can do. And I think that's really great. So
yeah, I can only do one episode.
Sure. But would you want to do more than that?
Yes, Scott. Yeah, I pitched them Dancing with the Stars first off season where Ross, everyone who got voted off first comes back for a rematch because I will dominate.
Yeah. Looking at everyone who got voted first off. Yeah. Yeah. I can only imagine. Well, Nikki, an incredible story. I'm talking about the St. Louis one that went on forever. And then also, Dancing with the Stars.
This is the thing, is like, I was so nervous to come on and now I don't know if I've really humiliated myself, but.
Oh no, this is prime Comedy Bang Bang. This is what we listen for, but we do have to take a break. If you can you stick around?
I can totally stick around. I can't wait.
We have an influencer coming up. We have a teacher, an educator coming up. This is exciting. We will be right back with more Nikki Glaser, more Comedy Bang Bang after this. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, what if I just said tough luck and then ended it? No, I actually have the perfect gift and I stand by this one 100%. I've talked about it. Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. How many photos do you think you've taken in your life? Four? More? Well, it's unlimited how many photos you can share on this thing. And I believe me, I've tested it out. It is super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving Aura as a gift, you can personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. And that's what I did. I gave these to all of my loved ones. And we put photos of our new baby into the frame. And they love it. My mom would rather watch the Aura frame than TV. She just sits there like watching the new photos come up. She loves it. I love them. I think it's one of the greatest inventions to ever be invented. Thank goodness whoever did it, Mr. Aura, if you're out there, we love you. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is AURA Frames, AuraFrames.com. Use code BANGBANG at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace, you know what it is. It's the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it is easy to create a beautiful website to engage with your audience all on your terms. And let me tell you something, you do not want to miss Fluid Engine. Oh, Fluid Engine is here, a next generation website design system from Squarespace. You start with a best-in-class website template and then customize every design detail with reimagined drag and drop technology for desktop or mobile. And with the new asset library, you're able to manage all your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform. So head to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you are ready to launch, of course, go to squarespace.com/bangbang to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Remember the first time you learned how to ride a bicycle? Just taking your feet off of the ground and putting them on those pedals. And oh no, nothing's holding you up except your own sense of balance. Oh gosh. The nostalgia for something like that. Well, you know what? You can experience it again. This spring, get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric E-Bike. That's right. They have an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, including mine, poor. It's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Go to electricebikes.com to discover e-bikes that start at just $799. With the XP Lite, anyone can ride with a variety of models designed to be a better mode of transportation. There's the zippy and affordable XP Lite, a great start to any e-bike journey. And we also have the Expedition. That's right, the letter X and then Pedition, a sturdy and versatile cargo e-bike that can hold up to 450 pounds. You know what? Electric e-bikes, they gave my good friend Paul F. Tompkins one of these things. He loves it. He's tootling around every day on it. Ring, ring. Hello. Hello, everyone. It's improved his social life. He used to be a hermit. He used to be sort of a Scrooge-like miser character. And now he's out there on that electric e-bike saying hello to the entire community. And you can, too. Go full throttle into spring with electric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. Please, please, please mention the Comedy Bang Bang the podcast sent you in the post-checkout survey. That is electric, L-E-C-T-R-I-C, and then ebikes.com. That's how you get there. Okay, bye! Comedy Bang Bang, we're back here. Nikki Glaser, the Nikki Glaser podcast, out right now. And is it, it's a daily show? Is that what it is?
Real quickly, let me just do the pitch for it. It is a daily show. It's kind of like, I love morning radio shows. I love Howard Stern. I just wanted to do a show where I could talk about my feelings. Yeah, it's like been one of the blessings of my career is...
I'm relegated to the wrap-up show.
No, you'll get there. You'll get... the thing is, it's so tricky. I literally moved to New York to work my way on the Howard Stern show because I got offered the Sirius show in LA when I was living there. And I go, I want to move to New York so that I can not only wake up later to do the show because it'll be the same time, but also I want to work on the same like floor as Howard. And like, I just like got in the mix. I started like talking to the guys from the show and like, you know, geeking out in the, you know, about Shuli and Sal and everyone. And then eventually like became friends with them. And then you become friends with Howard and it's yes. Anyway. So I try to make a show like that. That's just like daily. We talk about some news stuff, but it's me and my best friend, Andrew Collin. He's my roommate, my best friend. He opens for me on the road. He's hilarious. And it's like a morning show. And honestly, you can jump in whenever. There's no like, I got to catch up. It's like this.
How
it goes
long
off the rails.
Is the show? Do you do an hour long?
It's an hour long every day. Longer. I love it so much. Wow. I love doing radio. I have like 5 podcasts today and I've already done my own and I am excited about it. I love it. So we have fun segments and we talk about real stuff and it's just a show to make you feel better every day. And I know that's cheesy, but it truly is the goal of it. So it's called the Nikki Glaser Podcast and you can subscribe anywhere and just jump on in.
Incredible. And it's been going for a little while now, but
since March.
But you don't need to go back and listen to the early ones necessarily. You can just start with today.
No, you don't. Just start today. And it's really good. It like, honestly, I really have a problem promoting myself, but I'm finally at a place in my life where I'm like, oh, I'm talented. And this thing is like what I'm most talented at is podcasting. So tune in. I think you'll like it. And if you don't, just unsubscribe. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, stop this podcast right now and just go listen
just
to Nikki's.
Just go and then come back to this because you've already subscribed
to this. We only have an educator and an influencer coming up.
No one wants to talk to them. Let's get to them.
All right, let's get to them.
Thank you.
We mentioned influencing and that works out because he is an influencer. Please welcome to the show for the first time, I believe, Gareth Cloakman.
Yes. Hello, Scott. Happy to be here.
Oh, okay. It's wonderful to have you on. This is Nikki Glaser.
Yes.
Hello,
Nikki. I'm a big fan.
Hi. I don't know if I follow you, but
you're an influencer. What exactly does that mean?
I'm an influencer. So whether that means I'm on one of the socials spreading perhaps cute pictures in a bathing suit or meditations or things I'm cooking or workouts that I'm doing or products that I'm interested in. And I send those out to the world. And then the world can absorb those products and send that thought back to me.
Right.
And together we can become more powerful, more the people that we want to be.
Okay.
I've never heard an influencer talk so passionately.
But passionately is a good way to put it. I was going to say perhaps malevolently or...
There is a little bit of
There's a tinge of evilness about your voice. I don't know exactly what...
But I just trust him because he's an influencer, though.
I have heard that before. People say that is my vibe. When sometimes I take a cute picture of myself and perhaps the season's latest bathing suit with a fun hashtag such as weekend life... And then the people say there's something about that doesn't seem to ring the way that you wanted to get across. And then my
account, is that most of the comments underneath?
And then my account gets suspended.
Why?
For tone.
For tone. They're suspending accounts for tone. Now.
Yeah, and because sometimes I, as a joke, post a photorealistic. What if the Mona Lisa had a full body and she was nude as a fun joke?
Okay, yeah, right. I understand that. What does she look like?
A naked woman.
Okay. Well, hey, you've seen one, you've seen them all, as far as I'm concerned.
What are these? I'm just curious. I can't find you on Instagram. I'm thinking about
spelling
it wrong.
Yeah, are you Gareth Cloak Man? Is that how you spell it?
Well, when it was still active, again, the account is currently banned for tone. But when it was active, it was...
Okay. That's why I can't find it. You've been banned for tone.
It was at Cloakman's Picks.
Okay, so will you describe this? What was the setting of this? The like, I want to picture like what kind of images you're putting out there. Are you trying to sell the swimsuits to people?
Yeah,
well, that's the thing. The swimsuit company. Maybe it's your Gucci swimsuit. Maybe it's your Ace Hardware is making a swimsuit, and they want any sort of person. They just send it to me.
Is there a softer side of Ace Hardware that I don't know about?
Ace Hardware swimsuit, Orchard Hardware Supply swimsuit, Home Depot swimsuit.
Why are we talking about Ace Hardware and Home Depot? I'm not following this.
The point is...
What is the point?
The point is that anyone can make a swimsuit. They send it to me.
Sure, but they don't. Anyone can, but they don't.
Well, they do, though, because Home Depot has a cool one where the swimsuit is basically the shape of a letter H. And they say, we're trying to move this. And they say, Cloakman, if you could just...
Leave the pubes very uncovered, I would imagine.
It's just legs. Goes up to legs, goes about up to the waist, cuts across, then goes back
the belly
up to the shoulders.
And the nipples.
And then doesn't cut across. Yeah, no, the middle section is very slim. It's a slim... Anyway, so they sent me that. And I took pictures of that on the beach, and I said, weekend life. And I took a quick picture.
Yeah.
And then my account got banned for nudity because, again, the swimsuit does not cover. But that's not my fault.
I thought it was just the tone of
I've been banned for a couple things, tone and then in that case, nudity.
Why do you have this tone? What is your, why did you want to be an influencer? Are we getting that from you, from your point of view? Because it seems like you have some sort of like evil vibe going on.
No, listen.
Yeah, like there's a plan behind it.
I'm just your normal 27-year-old, just sort of kicking it online, trying to get my fam sort of interested in the things that I do, whether that's making a cool spaghetti bolognese with stuff you already have around the house, or maybe fun ways in which you could siphon off bits of your soul that you can sort of get picked up by whoever is
paying attention.
Are you noticing?
Time.
Yeah, are you noticing what I'm noticing here, Nikki? I'm not quite sure.
What was that last one?
Yeah,
a spaghetti bolognese with things
that you already have
in the house.
That was the first one.
You've already got onions. You've already got.
Are you just doing kind of breath work? Is that the what you're talking about? Or
are you taking speech classes like Edith Skinner type stuff right now?
Yeah. What's the one, the siphoning off your soul part?
Yeah.
Well, that just sort of happens, you know, for people walking. It's honestly not important when I'm trying to sell skincare. There's a lot of great products.
Like what?
I always say start small. If you're going to do one thing, you must wash your face every night.
Okay.
No exceptions. You will have a night when you are tired. You will have a night when the world is beating you down, when you have been tied to some sort of impossibly horrific torture machine. And you're thinking in your brain, I will escape this one day and come back to seek vengeance upon those who have wronged me. Surely tonight, as I am tied to this torture machine, I don't have the energy to clean my face before I fall asleep, but you must. If you do
metaphors, because I do feel like at the end of the night, I do feel like working all day and everything. That's a torture machine.
Life feels like the ultimate torture machine.
Or perhaps you're tied between two trees as trained mastodons pulled them in either direction.
Tearing your corporeal form apart. And you must make a deal with experienced this. Is that? Is that safe to say? Is this something that you've been through?
Listen, some influencers live in a hype house with painters and other people to sort of get together and boost their brand. Some made a pact with an elder god upon the moment of their death thousands of years ago and are just trying to get by. And also, by the way, I do live right. in a hype house. Shout out to Maddie Paints, who does a bunch of landscape painting. He actually got a grant from the government. It's very exciting.
You did say that trained mastodons would be pulling you apart.
Yeah,
is that, yes, ripping that your corporeal form in twain, tearing at the very fabric of your life. And so you cry out, I must continue to be. And lo, the only force that answers is an unspeakable and eldritch power, unnamed by
men. Oh my God.
You strike a dark bargain to live forever. And to do so, you must continually siphon off the souls of those around you, exerting your influence all the time.
Oh my god. Nikki, can I talk to you for a second?
I'll go over here and stretch skin wide.
Yeah, are you getting this?
I don't know. I feel like this guy, I'm not the brightest guy, but I feel like guy might have made some sort of, perhaps struck a bargain with some sort of spiritual force in order to live forever.
An eldritch bargain.
Wait, I think he's still hearing us too. I guess he's offering corrections from way over there.
Or he just is telling someone else and just screaming that part.
He also, if I'm being honest, he sounds like a young guy who's putting on like a deep voice.
Yes.
Like it's fake. It sounds fake too. He's trying to sound evil.
There's an effort behind the evilness, but there's also,
it's like Christian Bale's Batman voice.
Great tips.
Yeah,
and I just can't figure out if I am, I just want to understand.
Can we look past the messenger and just listen to the message? I don't know.
I mean, the poetry of these described torture techniques is takes me to a place alone that, like, I think is influencing me. It's almost like a spell. So I feel like I've
almost been hypnotized a little bit by his weird put on voice. It sounds like an act.
Yeah, his like middle school play wizard voice.
Yeah, let's invite him back. Hey, yeah. Gareth.
Hello.
Gareth, hi. When did you start doing that voice?
Well, that's sort of a side effect of having your physical and corporeal pore ripped apart by mammoths thousands of years.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yes, but I don't want to focus on the past. I'm here to talk about new and hot trends.
Can you talk in a higher-pitched voice? Like if you were doing an impression of someone with a high-pitched voice? What would that sound like?
Trying to just pitch it up.
Could you get rid of the vocal fry too? Is there a way to just like have a clear?
Let me try.
Yeah, clear your throat a little bit.
Do you have like a vocal warm up?
Yeah. Do you do anything? I mean, maybe you could do the mantra that Nikki was saying on the way
I'm
to
strong,
Dancing
I'm
with
prepared,
the Stars.
This is easy.
I am strong. I am prepared. This is easy.
Yeah,
I'm strong.
That sounds better. That sounds a little more natural.
I'm strong. Yeah. I'm
it just
prepared.
Sounds like it takes.
This is
so
easy.
Much energy.
Like your voice. Yeah, I do have to ask you about this, Gareth. Yes. Like your voice is it does stand out to me as like it seems exhausting to have to present everything.
Like how many hours do you sleep a night? I would imagine it'd be around 17 because after doing that voice for about 7, I'd be ready for bed.
And the way you describe things takes longer.
You're also laughing evilly right now, just at my joke.
Yes, well, I was laughing at the idea of rest, Scott. And let's just leave it at that. Also, you might sound like this if you had a small incorporeal snake where your vocal cords should be.
Wait, you have a snake?
Incorporeal. You do? That's just like in your throat is your snake?
Correct.
Is a snake.
But it's not corporeal?
Incorporeal snake.
Meaning it's not
body?
Little.
Sure.
And a snake.
But wait, what the incorporeal part is what we're interested in here.
Okay, so corporeal meaning having the physical form.
Right.
Oh.
Incorporeal.
So this is a ghost snake? A small ghost snake?
You might call it a small ghost snake.
Okay. Yeah, not composed of matter having no material existence. Okay, got it.
Nikki, look at that with the words. Incredible.
Yeah. You use these words, off, Gareth, queen. And that is the tone of these words.
Preach, it, queen! Definitions, queen!
Do so, you have some sort of evil plan to enslave the human? I mean, it sounds like you're trying. I have to say, Nikki, I'm feeling listless and tired after listening to this, almost as if he's stealing my soul while we're talking.
Are you able to, like, see, like, souls and is there anything you're getting from us as an influencer who truly has incorporeal powers? Mm-hmm. Can you get anything from us on the Zoom?
Like a sort of, like, aura reading? Is that what you're asking?
Sure.
Or are you asking if
like, can you see how I'm going to die or, like, anything? Like, you just seem to know a lot about death, and I just want to know how you know that. What do you death, what do you know? What is coming?
Death is to be feared and avoided at all costs. Strike okay. strike which bargains you must.
Where can we strike these bargains? I'm willing.
Well,
I'm
you
game.
Use his promo code that he's about to give us.
Nikki,
promo code Cloakman.
One step ahead of the curve. Promo code Cloakman picks.
That's right, Cloakman
whisper
picks.
It, whisper it into a ever burning stump. Okay. Scream it into your reflection in a broken mirror.
Look, anything I could do, I will do. I there comes a time when you realize you have fewer days in front of you than you do behind you, and
run from those days. Put on your fastest shoes from Kohl's or Ross. Promo code Cookman picks.
So you're sponsored. Okay, you're sponsored by Home
that
Depot.
That was a sponsored threat.
Kohl's.
I prefer to shop at Lowe's when possible.
Okay, all right. Look, Gareth, we need to take a break. Can you stick around? don't just
not
laugh evilly.
Not only,
I need
not
a yes or a no, a verbal yes or a no.
I am compelled to stick around.
Oh, that was part of your bargain? Okay, all right. Well, look, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more from Gareth Cloakman, the influencer, more from Nikki Glaser, and we have a teacher. Oh, it's the return of Mr. Camp. We'll be right back with more Comedy Bang Bang after this. You gotta admit, shopping for humans, it's so hard. But you know what? Shopping for your dog? Oh, that's easy thanks to Bark. Every month, Bark delivers toys and treats just for your pup. They deserve to be spoiled, don't they? Every month? Why not? At Bark, we send your dog a whole new collection of toys and treats made just for them every single month. Whether it's fun plush toys from BarkBox or ultra-tough toys from Super Chewer, Bark gives your dog exactly what they want. And for a limited time, Bark will double your first box for free. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/bangbang. That's BarkBox.com/bangbang. Now, we have been Bark subscribers for a long time, and we would get the boxes every month, and our dogs love them. In fact, they love them so much that the opening of the package, they would be jumping up on us. They love them so much that after a few months, any package that was delivered, they thought it was for them, and they would get very, very excited. We'd say, no, this was actually just a book that I ordered. It's very, very exciting when you give a BarkBox. Sign up now at BarkBox.com/bangbang for an exclusive offer. This ad is over now. Let's go back to petting our dogs.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Comedy Bang Bang, we're back. Nikki Glaser of the Nikki Glaser podcast. I think you and Gareth are really hitting it off here. I think Gareth could be on your show. I think he could be a regular contributor.
I'd love to. You could be on my show. Soul Food with Gareth Cloakman.
Are you worried that people are going to get confused that they think they're tuning in to hear soul food recipes? I mean, look, if I were to make a show called, you know, Common Slaw, and it was not about making slaw recipes, I think there would be a lot of confusion in the marketplace.
That's why I have the subtitle. Soul food. Your food. Your soul is food.
To me.
To me. Soul food. Your soul is food.
Soul
to me.
Food to me. Okay.
With Gareth Gloeckman.
Okay. This sounds good.
Okay, there's a subtext. Podcasters. Okay.
All right. Well, we do need to get to our next guest. And this is exciting because he was on the show before, and he is a really interesting guy. He is an educator. I can't recall exactly where he teaches, but we'll catch ourselves up on him. But please welcome back to the show, Mr. Camp.
Oh, thanks for having me again, Scott. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Mr. Camp, this is Nikki. This is Gareth.
Hello, Nikki. Hello. And Mr. Cloeckman. It's nice to make your acquaintance.
Why'd you call him Mr. Cloeckman and her just Nikki?
Well, his Zoom name has his last name in there, and I find it an incredible last name.
Zoom
really
culture is so
it.
Hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it just seems like sexism to me.
Here I am beefing it online again. I'm so sorry, Nikki.
I didn't want to bring it up. Because the last time you were on, you were beefing it a little bit, weren't you?
Yeah, I was beefing it. Last time I was here, I was told you my situation. I'm a fourth grade teacher in Jefferson County in Crestline, Alabama. And I was unfortunately positioned right across from a teacher who had a unique handshake for every single one of his children in his classroom. And
that's right. I've seen
I
that video.
Love that video.
Oh, that teacher's so cool.
How does he memorize all those?
I don't know. I can't.
And he
even
made
get
the kids
one.
Feel so special. It was so sweet. I love
that's
it.
What it seemed like. Yeah, it really felt that way from afar. And I'm over here just slapping my kids' hands, trying to figure it out. But it's a lot more complicated than you'd assume.
But, no, I think it would be exactly as complicated as you would assume.
Yeah.
And, you know, almost it would take a lot of work, a lot of blood, sweat and tears in order to memorize all that.
So you did it, too?
I tried a little bit, but I did not have the both creativity to come up with the handshakes. Nor
you couldn't
the
even come up with
to
them.
Execute them. Yeah.
OK, so it was a physical and a mental problem.
Across the board.
Because you have to have the choreography of them because they need to get more intricate. So you didn't have the skills to come up with new.
Couldn't do it at all.
So what did you end up doing again? Remind us of what we talked about the last time.
I ended up sort of slapping the children in the hands a lot. It didn't really work out for me. The problem, I just couldn't figure it out. And, you know, nowadays we're in these Zoom classrooms where we have distance learning, and I'm once again beefing it online.
Oh, no, you're not beefing it online.
Yes.
Over Zoom, are you?
It must be so hard to do the Zoom thing. So what's happening?
It's impossible.
How do you make the kids feel special? What's the other teacher doing now, and what are you doing?
Well, I'm hearing about the other stuff going on with this teacher. They have heartwarming articles being written online about how all the kids will hold up like little photos of him and say, "You made the year possible. You put so much effort in." And I get these
this
sort of
the
notes.
Same guy?
Same guy, Mr. Mr. Yielding. They call him Eddie. You know, they call him the first name.
Oh, do you allow that or no?
I love
absolutely
teachers like that.
Not.
Okay.
Oh.
I don't even like my first name, so I don't.
Wait, what is your first name again?
Chunker.
Chunker?
Yeah.
Chunker Camp?
Chunker Camp.
Wow.
And I don't know why that came. My parents, it was sort of a boy named Sue kind of thing where they were trying to make
just
me
just the
tough.
First thing that came to mind.
The name was supposed
first
to
thought, best
a,
thought?
Supposed to be a destiny for you to inhabit. And yet you've beefed it and become a teacher.
I beefed it. And I think that was the destiny. More of a curse, really.
Yeah. The camp curse.
So when in my classroom, it felt like they were going to like hold something up for me, and it was a bunch of pictures of me as a candy bar called Chunker, and I don't get it, and I don't appreciate it.
Wait, you a candy bar with your head on the end of it, or
so
how do you mean?
They came up with sort of a fictional candy bar called the Chunker.
Okay.
And at the end of it is like the wrapper was open and it's all pictures of me like that they took screenshots of when I wasn't paying attention and looking at deeply into the computer trying to figure out what to do with any of this software.
So their parents, like, I mean, these are sixth graders. So their parents like facilitated this. This sounds like a large scare bullying that has happened.
I mean, it was a coordinated effort. It sounds like.
Yeah.
Thank you. I would like to say that I believe the parents are on the side of the children in this bullying effort.
Because how did they even know your first name was Chunk? Like, there's a lot that went into this. I mean, it's almost as much effort that went into the handshakes that Mr.
Yielding it seems like they would have had to do a lot of online research, like, you know, maybe even hired a detective agency to figure out your first name.
Yes, I mean, it seems like some of these parents are pretty powerful and motivated to take me down online.
That's a lot of work, yeah.
Wow. Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that you struck their children?
It's so easy to accidentally, they're so much shorter than you, the children. And Nick,
although you're
said,
short guy, I can see you on the
Zoom. Oh, yeah. I'm 5'2", but I wear really tall shoes, too. So.
Oh, really? Wow. So you're 5'2" in
you
heels.
You are a little person.
5'2" in heels.
Because if you're under 5'.
Technically, I am. Yeah. I guess you could say that.
That's
but
cool.
To your point, yes, I was distant learning way before COVID. They had a little robot with a screen on it that they had to bring in.
So Mr. Camp, this has been a terrible year for you, and it's just about to end here. The school.
Yes.
Are you going into summer school?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of a summer school star, as I talked about last time. Most of the teachers don't want to do it, and I
got to be honest. I don't remember anything you talked about last time.
No. You kind of beefed it up last time. Oh, God damn it. I keep beefing it up. I love to play kickball with the kids, and we do about 30 minutes of learning a day. Summer school, I think it's going to be the first time I'm seeing these kids in person for the, because this whole year has been distance, really. But I'm hoping I can close out the year online and maybe get an article written about me.
You're going to see it in person. Have you been vaccinated?
No, I don't know.
Well, then why are you seeing them in person?
Because it's definitely available to you as a teacher. It's been available to you
for a while.
Yeah.
What is your issue with that?
Well, I think that could be part of the pranking situations where I've gotten a lot of emails. Now, you know what? Now that you say it, I think that's what it is. A lot of people telling me that I was specifically not allowed to have it.
they don't want you to have it because they want you to expire earlier.
Yeah, I think it had to do. Now that we're saying it out loud, it makes a lot of sense.
So you're saying the kids and the parents sent you a fake email saying you're not allowed to get the vaccine?
Yeah, it was a pretty official looking email from the CDC that said if your name
the
is
CDC. Right from the top.
I have a collab with Rite Aid. I can get you 100% off of a vaccine.
Really?
That
sounds like a great deal.
You gotta get it.
And you really got it. You have to change districts, Mr. Camp.
Professions.
Yeah, I mean, like, what other things could you maybe do than be around kids or like do things that you need to learn?
Maybe unlike Nikki, you haven't tried stand up yet and found out that.
Be a publicist.
I could give it a shot.
Do you want to start some now? Sometimes if you just walk up on stage without any jokes, you're funnier than you ever would be.
Scott. Okay.
Why don't you just like try something right now?
So I'll just walk up here and I'll just try to give it a shot.
Yes.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
You ever get called Chunker for no reason?
Well, it's your name.
Well, okay. It's just my first. It's my new material. What do you want me to do?
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to heckle you.
Yeah, Scott. I mean, I wanted to jump in too, but like, let's be gentler. Okay. It's the first time.
But I feel like I'm one of his friends there to support him, and I would have, tried to correct the record a little bit.
Should we do supportive heckles?
Okay, supportive heckles.
Okay, I'm down for that.
Woo!
Okay,
woo!
I think
let's not check with him though. But we like that.
Yeah, I would appreciate it if you did it again, but yeah, let's go for it. I got an email from the CDC, and I thought it was an email from myself, Chunker David Camp.
Yes, these letters are the same as your name.
So funny.
You know what? That actually felt great.
Well
felt
done. Great. Let's go.
I'm going to write that one down and perform it around.
That's
down.
Actually not bad.
Whoa. As you're talking about publicists, I think I could use a publicist, to be honest. Mm. But I think it would be my entire salary as a teacher, I assume.
Mr. Camp.
Is he still doing stand-up?
Yeah, I can't quite tell. Yeah, I don't know whether he walked
off the stage. That is a cool premise. I kind of like that one.
Yeah.
Teachers need publicists. Is this a good zone for a
You know what? Let's talk about that, though. I want to know, how has it been being a teacher during the pandemic? And you teach sixth grade. What do you teach exactly?
So I teach state history. So it's a lot of glossing over really hard stuff about Alabama. We talk about
history is written by the victors.
Yes.
So you teach state history, and do you do any sort of math or?
Well, in the summer school, I do a couple of math classes. Got to be honest, it's really straightforward.
This plus this stuff. Equals that.
This equals that, you know.
Oh, you're not even doing the pluses, just this equals that?
You know, the general idea. This plus this is
142 equals 142. Yeah, no other way around
We don't mess with the extra
stuff. Is there a curriculum that you follow? Is this a Montessori school? Okay.
Probably. I just don't think your heart's in this, Mr. Camp.
I don't think this is right for you.
At this point, I'm feeling like I don't know how to get out of it. You know, a lot of the teachers, we all live together, kind of like a hype house.
Like a hype house of educators.
Your
Matty Paints is perhaps, what's another teacher that you are?
Mr. Wibbles.
Mr. Wibbles is your Matthew Paints.
Right.
What does he do?
Why do you guys live together? I've never heard of teachers living together.
Never.
Teachers don't make a ton of money, Scott. We all have to live together to.
That's why they need publicists.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why we need publicists, and we also just try to make content on the side. You know.
Okay.
So it's about
you
the content.
Always okay. Must be making content.
Oh, so yeah. I'm getting it now. This guy who had all the handshakes, he doesn't care about his students. He's making content.
Exactly, Scott. This guy is just killing it on TikTok.
Yeah.
And why? So what is your attempt to go viral with these kids?
Yeah, we got
to
get you viral.
We got to get you doing something. And you got to get some payback for how they've been bullying you. You need to stand up for yourself.
To be honest, I'm going viral pretty constantly, but it's always at my expense.
Okay.
But you can tap this, Mr. Camp. Okay. You can spin this in your... What's the last thing you went viral on?
I went viral because I really laid into a kid for wearing sunglasses, but it was those colorblind sunglasses where you see the color for the first time. And he was crying and everybody got really mad at me and it was screen recorded.
I love those videos. Yes. So they were recording it for that.
And the other teacher gave him the sunglasses. Get those sunglasses out of my classroom.
Okay. That is unfortunate.
You ruined their video.
I ruined it.
And, I love those videos.
You beefed it.
I'm beefing it every day, Scott, and I don't really know what to do about that other than I gotta move.
What are other things of videos that make them viral? Let's figure out.
Well, there's the soldier coming home for the first time. Yes. Did you ever do one of those?
Well, I thought this soldier was an intruder, and I did roundhouse kick him in the head.
Well, see, now that one, a roundhouse kick in the head, I think would go viral regardless.
I think I saw
and
that one.
It wouldn't reach his solar plexus, because this is we're dealing with it. Did you have heels on when you did that?
I had my heels on. The tip of my heel hit him in the jaw.
So you're 5'2", and this soldier was what, in his 6 feet?
He was 6'9".
6'9", and you got all the way up there?
I heels, so you're taller. Yes.
Oh, the heel flipped off your foot and then projected.
Flipped him like a boomerang,
Got it.
And that went viral.
Like a boomerang? Like it came back to your foot?
Shot back right onto my foot. Full accident. I don't have the dexterity to figure that out.
Yeah.
What was he doing at your house?
He was visiting one of the other teachers, Mr. Wiggles.
They lived together, remember?
Yes.
He was returning home to Mr.
Right.
Wiggles.
Oh, God.
Yes, and
they were filming it.
What are some of the other viral videos?
Well, hearing for the first time, obviously.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, have you done one of those?
Unfortunately, yes. I thought they were putting just an AirPod in their ear to listen to music, and I really laid into this kid. And unfortunately, the first thing he heard was me screaming at him. And so that was again right
his
viral
first memory.
Really
oh
way.
No!
He will learn that all communication is just screams at varying
okay.
volumes.
No, that's not. We don't find that to be true, Gary.
No, that is not comforting.
But have you, you know what it is, maybe what's a fun way to go viral that I don't understand that maybe the three of you can sort of enlighten me on?
Sure.
There's videos of a man, there's a woman in the frame. Normally she's wearing yoga pants, perhaps Lululemon or something.
Sure.
And a man walks into the frame and he slaps her on the behind.
Wow.
And then another woman walks into the frame, and she looks identical to the first woman, and he thought that he was slapping the behind of a woman with whom he is in a relationship, when in reality, he has slapped the behind of a woman who is her twin sister. And surely their household is torn apart.
This is like a twin meme?
This is,
if you're a twin, you gotta see that coming. If you're a twin and you got
some... Yeah, you gotta accept slaps on the
butt. If you're dating a twin and she's on TikTok, she's gonna do this prank on you.
And honestly, if you're dating a twin, you're gonna end up having sex with the other twin by mistake.
Like it happens.
A fifth of the time, you're gonna end up just having sex with the other twin.
Yeah, I would say it probably... It goes out to one-fifth by the end of your life.
I mean, this sounds incredible, but I gotta be honest. My first problem I'm running into is that I don't know two women... I have to know two women?
Not even teachers there at the hype house?
Oh, they would never let me anywhere near them.
Oh, so you've just never had a relationship.
Listen, I'm sexually attracted to, my type is teachers, as we discussed last time.
I'm never going to remember anything we talked about.
I just had to brush up on.
You listen to your past appearance.
Yeah, I just, sometimes just say thanks. Yeah.
Sure.
I can't imagine that's ever true.
You're only sexually attracted to teachers. So
that's why I thought the hype house would be so great, but it doesn't work if no one likes you or wants to be around you. And in fact, you have a separate entrance entirely to the house.
Yes, you thought you would be going into something that we call in the influencer industry a horny hype house. Where the people are all working together but also sleeping together. It's all very bacchanal.
Who are you sleeping with? Can you give us any gossip about what's going on in your hype house?
Okay, well, Maddie Paints, obviously, he's banging sure. And then there's Brittany. Brittany does a bunch of yoga. She's very cool. We're all sort of...
Yeah,
very
someone does
polyamorous.
Pranks there, too, I would imagine. That's a big part of the hype house.
It's in his account that you follow Pranks by Benjamin. Benjamin is always doing pranks, but he only does them on the local fire department, which is weird.
Very specific.
That doesn't seem like someone you'd want to...
It's always setting fires, and then the fire department shows up
doesn't
and
sound
says,
like
pranks by Benjamin!
Sounds like pyromania
just
to me. But
like arson, you know?
Well, no, that's Arthur the arsonist.
Okay.
That's a different guy. Okay. It sounds like they have very similar interests.
You know, I think my students learn from your hype house friends. I think that this all sounds familiar. They got me to go to the firehouse and start just a verbal altercation with all of them for leaving some shit on my door.
Mm.
I think
So you were influenced by them.
I guess you could say that. I was influenced.
They left shit on your door? The people in the firehouse?
Shit. There's a bag of shit on the door, and there was a typed out note that said...
It says, from the fire department, definitely.
Chunker David Camp.
That's a prank by Benjamin. I've seen that before. You got pranked by Benjamin. It was a copycat, for sure.
You know, saying it out loud, it makes a lot more sense now.
Listen, the thing that's so funny about it is because usually when you get to... It stops as a physical altercation with the fire department, because the fire department...
And they
heroes.
Kicked my ass.
But in your case, they did kick your ass. Normally, they're all about saving people and not...
So they didn't even do it, but they still kicked your ass.
Well, I came in hot, and then they had no choice,
They have to defend themselves.
You got your ass beat by the fire department.
I came in swinging. I connected once with my boomerang shoe, and then they all took me down.
Sounds to me like you should be a kickboxer, honestly, because you're doing these physical feats of dexterity that I don't think I could accomplish it. And Nikki's been on Dancing with the Stars. I don't even think she can kick that
high. It really is incredible. And I did read about this. What you did to that Dalmatian when you started with the Dalmatian was the problem.
Well, I punched the dog immediately, and that was
that was
really
crazy.
Upsetting.
Wait, is that who you're talking about when you say you connected with one of them?
Yes. I thought he was wearing
a dog.
I knew that he was just glossing over it because I was like, I remember this brawl.
Well, he was wearing a little tight blue shirt, and I thought that was what they wear under all firefighters.
All firefighters wear tight blue shirts, of
right? And you only see clothes; you don't see color or species.
No, it's just clothes for me.
And did that go viral? You kicking the dog?
Yes, again, that went viral. The children filmed it. And that was...
There's a documentary said don't fuck with Dalmatians about it.
Sequel
about
to
that
the
video.
Cat one. Yeah.
The
yeah.
dog, as I recall, threw you to the ground and just really beat your ass.
He just... It was like...
the human firefighters didn't even beat your
they
ass.
Didn't
the dog
technically
did?
Need no. to help, but they wanted to help.
Right.
And so that of course went viral. It was all over TikTok. Got re-uploaded a bunch of times after being taken down.
Oh my god. Mm-hmm. Mr. Camp. Well, look, guys, we are running out of time, and unfortunately, we don't have time to get into more of Mr. Camp's humiliation. We only have time for one final feature, and that is a little something called plugs.
These gas plugs, so let's get to the part of the show we call plugs. Scott's butt plugs, your butt plugs. Scott.
Oh, that was so pleasant. And then it's called Plug My Butt With Your Plugs by Mars Travolta. Thank you to Mars Travolta for that. Guys, what are we plugging? Nikki, obviously, we have the Nikki Glaser podcast, which is daily.
Yes, you can get it anywhere you get podcasts, the Nikki Glaser podcast. And I'm going to be going on tour this summer doing stand-up, and I'm really excited about it. Back on tour July through, like, January. Dates are probably announced already. And, yeah, I'm doing a theater tour. It's going to be really fun. It's going to feature music and dancing and also comedy.
Music and dancing by you, or just generally, you're going to ask people in the audience to dance?
I don't know yet, but definitely music.
Don't have a concept yet.
But it's going to be just like wild. Like I really think I've just stepped away from like, I've just really thought about what do I want to do? And I really enjoy playing music. So I might do some of that with like my dad.
And you were living with your dad during quarantine. So were you guys practicing together? Is that?
My dad was a really good guitarist and singer. And so I've always not wanted to do those things because I was never as good as him. And
your dad, full disclosure, your dad is Paul McCartney. We should just talk about that. I mean, it's weird that we never have brought this up at this point.
It is weird. And it's weird that they never talk about me.
Yeah,
like, that's been even weirder. Is that it? That's like Paul, really,
your dad was always talking about like his legless girlfriend way more than you.
And Stella gets a lot of attention. Yeah. And Julian, John's son, that he wrote a song about.
He wrote Hey Jude about him and nothing about you.
From my dad. But living with him during quarantine, I got back into, playing guitar and singing. And so
he did write the song Mickey about you because it used to be, Oh, Nikki, You're So Fine. But then he just gave it away to Tony Basil and she changed it to Mickey.
People don't know that. It's amazing that you know that trivia. But yeah, Paul, dad. So yeah, I'm going to go on the road this summer. Don't worry. I'm not turning into a musical comic that like, I know what people want. So
how do people get tickets or find out the dates?
NikkiGlaser.com. Follow me on Instagram and Nikki Glaser. And it's called One Night with Nikki. And so I'm coming to your town for one night. Come hang out.
All right. Fantastic. Let's see. Gareth Cloakman, what are you plugging here?
Yes, I'm doing a hot collab with New Jersey Michael's submarine sandwiches. You can get a Chipotle turkey sub for $5.99 in any size with any variation of bread, and 50% of the proceeds go to helping our unhoused neighbors.
Use promo code
CloakmanPix and follow me on all of the channels when my accounts are unbanned for tone and nudity.
Okay, all right, very good. Mr. Camp, what do you, I mean, look, I doubt you have anything going on, but what do you have?
Not
what do you
all.
Have to plug?
Not at all. I guess I would plug this podcast I heard called the Rotating Heroes podcast, which is sort of a D&D podcast with comedians that rotate in and out that I think is fun.
Okay. That's nothing. Where can people get that? That's anywhere podcasts are?
On Patreon.
On Patreon. All right. Yeah. Patreon. Where do they go? Just Patreon.
The Rotating Heroes podcast on Patreon.
All right. Fantastic. Cool. I want to plug my other podcast, Threedom, which is Lauren Lapkus and Paul F. Tompkins and myself, and we just sit around, usually in my backyard here, and we shoot the shit, and we play games, and it's very fun, and that comes out on Thursday, so check that out anywhere podcasts are. All right, let's close up the old plug bag.
When you see something open, get a rope up and start to twist. Then you find that you're getting a little eye mist.
Go with a smile.
You think you're crying and you know what to do. Get up in there and do what you do. Open up the door bag. Open up the door bag. Open up the door bag.
Make sure you got eyes on him.
And don't mess around with it.
Make sure you don't mess around. Don't mess around. Don't mess around. Don't mess around.
Don't mess around.
Wow. Well,
open that shit.
Okay, that was incredible. That was Plug Dance by David Montgomery. That was a mixture of my favorite song, Bat Dance, and our plugs theme. Thank you so much to David Montgomery for that. An incredible. I believe we've had all new submissions for these themes all throughout the year. This is great. Keep it up. If you want to hear yours, go ahead and send it in. Where? I have no idea. Guys, I want to thank you so much, Nikki. So great to have you on the show for the first time. Please come back.
So fun, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Gareth, great to see you. Can I have any of my soul back that you stole, or... do I just not have it forever?
No, it doesn't work. It's
a one-way street?
One-way street.
Okay, but yeah. Kind of like my butthole.
Perhaps you will. Well, maybe today, Scott. The world is full of exciting and new possibilities.
That's true. Who knows? If I were to live for 27,000 years, who knows what would go in or out of that?
I know. I know.
Okay, that's a part of your personality we did not explore. Gareth Cloakman, thank you so much. And Mr. Camp, I want to say thanks for being on the show, but to be honest, you beefed it.
Freaking beefed it again.
Freaking beefed it, dude.
It wasn't great.
Oh, man.
Let this failure spur you to a new life.
Probably not.
Probably not. All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks. Bye.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.